This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to see the greatest move of God's Spirit on planet Earth. And I want to make sure that you are equipped for the battle. I want to make sure that you're not a casualty. I want to make sure that you fulfill your entire destiny before the living God. And that's why I have on the telephone right now Doug Jones. I'm speaking to him about his brand new book, just literally off the press. He's an instructor at Rhema Bible College. And this book is foundational. And I'll challenge you, if you read this book, if it won't revolutionize your walk with God. Doug, would you give a bit of a summary of what you call maintenance of our thought life?
Yes, I will, Sid. Thank you very much. Very clear that throughout the Bible that people were destroyed, their lives were devoured, they missed out on God's best simply because they failed to maintain their thought life properly. The armor that God has given to us is the armor of Bible knowledge. We are to take what we know about the truth and righteousness and salvation, our faith, the Word of God, the Gospel of Peace. We are to take what we know and we are to put it on. And we are to use it, first of all, to maintain our thought life. Second of all, we use it to maintain our words. And then we use it to maintain our actions. But the first place that what we've been taught is to touch is the maintenance of our thought life. It's time that we begin to realize how important this issue is. I think it's very clear that without the maintenance of our thought lives, marriages are continuing going to deteriorate. Without the maintenance of our thought life, teenagers will continue to rebel, because all of these issues begin with a thought, an ideal, and a suggestion. And if we can learn to protect ourselves in this area, as we ended yesterday's program, Sim, we talked about the fact that the church for so long, we've talked about maintaining our words and watching what we say. We talk about maintaining our conduct and watching how we act. But it's kind of like we're guarding door one and we're guarding door two, but the devil's coming in door three, and that's in the area of our thought life. The very arena that he's entering into our lives in, we're not doing a real good job on protecting and maintaining ourselves in. And so through this book, Mastery the Silence, I've tried to highlight this issue that it's time to that we begin to maintain our thought life. It's kind of like, you know, I've had churches tell me that all of a sudden, you know, Usher Jack has been ushering for years, been faithful and been reliable and been dependable and trustworthy. And all of a sudden, one Wednesday night, Usher Jack doesn't show up. And so someone happens to see his wife, and what happens to Jack? Where's Jack at? Well, didn't you hear? No, what happened? Jack ran away from the family. He's had a girlfriend for months. Left the family, walked away from the marriage. Outwardly, Jack looked like he's doing fine, attending church on a regular basis, doing well, ushering, volunteering, smiling, shaking hands with people. But Sid, inwardly, is an unmaintained thought life, a thought life that was allowed to advance itself within Jack's life to the point to where that he embraced those thoughts and eventually acted out those thoughts and walked away from his. But outwardly, it looked like everything. There's a lot of people today sitting in churches, and they're saying the right things, they're doing the right things, but inwardly, their thought life is an unbridled.
You know, when you look at someone from the outside, they may look perfect, picture perfect,
yeah.
But you don't know what's going on in the inside. And what you're saying is that the very first step is to identify a thought as whether it's friend,
yes,
or foe, based on the Word of God. Okay, let's suppose I identify it as a foe,
okay,
based on the Word of God.
Yes.
What next?
Well, we take each thought and we ask ourselves the question, does it agree with what we believe? Does it agree with our Bible knowledge? If it doesn't, then the next step is, all of a sudden we need to quench that thought. The word quench, because the Bible says quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked. The word quench means to extinguish. Said, when we extinguish a fiery dart, then we remove its fuel supply. The fuel supply of thoughts is attention. Attention is the fuel that determines the lifespan of a thought. If a thought receives a little amount of attention, then the thought will have little impact upon our lives. But if the thought is allowed to remain, then it begins to capture our attention, and it feeds off of that attention and grows and develops and matures. And so in reality, the strength of a thought either increases or decreases depending upon how much attention that thought is given. And so what happens is if the thought goes against the Word of God, this is a thought, I've identified it as being a fiery dart that's been hurled at me from the wicked one, then I am to cut the attention factor off of it by, and the way I do that is by turning my thoughts back to the Word. And I ask myself, what does the Bible say about this subject? And I would encourage your listeners, Sid, that if they're having difficulty finding Bible verses about the subjects that they're dealing with in their lives, that they contact their pastor and just tell them, Pastor, you know, I'm having some difficulty in this particular area of my mind. Give me some scriptures that I can use, that I can put my attention on, so that I don't have to be focusing on the thought itself all the time.
You know, in your book, you give the illustration that if someone walks up to you and says something evil, you can choose to just turn your back on them and walk away, or you can choose to engage in conversation. And the person that walked up to you that's saying something evil would say, you're a pretty rude person to just turn away from me. I thought that was a great analogy, and that's what you're suggesting. Be rude to that negative thought.
Yes, cut off the attention that you place on it and turn your attention and put it on the Word. What does the Word say about this? But then as you're thinking about the Word of God, you're putting your attention back on the Word of God, you're finding examples within the Word, you're finding scriptures within the Word, and now we can gather up all of these scripture references. It takes a little work, Sid, because we're in a battle here. Lives are in the balance here. Families are in the balance. I've had a couple of people say to me, Doug, this is a little bit of work. It's a little bit of work, but this is war. This is not a game. This is not something that just would go away.
And how much more, if what I'm sensing in my spirit is true, Doug, that we're about ready to walk into the greatest revival in the history of planet Earth, how much greater, more ferocious a battle would it be now than ever before?
Exactly right. Because the devil's trying to sideline us on non-essential things, get our lives taken up with all kinds of things that should never have been embraced. And he's done it through a simple little tool with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions.
Give me a concrete type of an example of a situation and what the person should do to be free.
All of a sudden, you have a thought at work. Slow down. You deserve a break today. You know as well as I do that that thought goes against the Word of God. And so what we do is we take our attention off of that thought, and we begin to turn it back on the Word of God. And we begin to realize that scriptures start coming up on the inside of us. Scriptures like Proverbs 10 and verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. All of a sudden you begin to realize, you know, this thought, if I accept this thought, it's going to cause me to enter into poverty. If I reject this thought, and I stay diligent on the job, the Bible says it'll make me rich. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. I like that scripture. In Proverbs 19, verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. All of these scriptures are talking about what's going to happen if I embrace this thought of you deserve a break today. It's a simple little thought, but here again, so many Christians are embracing those thoughts on the job, and they're becoming poor work. They have poor workmanship. They're being unfaithful on the job.
They're literally shooting themselves in the foot.
Yes, because they're losing promotions. all because they embraced thoughts that were ungodly. This issue covers every area of our life. It's so important to us. And all of a sudden, so what happens is then once we realize, hey, this thing's from the enemy, I'm not going to obey this. I'm going to go ahead and work diligently. Whether they see me or not, I'm going to work. And we start quoting the Word of God back to that thought, and then that thought will leave us. But many times, Sid, what will happen is those thoughts will come back after a while. And I'll tell you what, the same thing needs to occur over again. Get back in the Word. Find out what the Word says. Feed yourself along those lines.
Doug, unfortunately, we're out of time right now. But, Mishbucha, there is such an anointing on this teaching that you will get it. That's what I'm saying. You will once for your life get it and figure it out and take step by step how to fight these thoughts and change your life in not just the areas we're talking about, in every area of importance in your life. For instance, this has to do with when worry hits you, depression, frustration, suicide, temper, anger, hatred, lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, hopelessness, envy, pride, selfishness, divorce, rebellion, false doctrines. You can see how important this is. We're making this book available. It's called Mastering the Silence. If you have never written or called our 800 number before, or if you have, I urge you to do it right now. A donation of $12 that includes postage. And this Shabbat broadcast, I want to bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, that's his completeness in your spirit and in your soul and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'asem lecha shalom.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishbucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.